We have been going over understanding prayer, examining the life of Elijah. The text scripture coming from James chapter number 5, verse number 17 through 18 says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, this particular passage in James is making reference to the events in 1 Kings 17:1, where it says Elijah the Tishbite, who was the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, I want to take a little pivot. I'm not going to stop talking about Elijah, but I need to, this thing about the fervency in our prayer. Whenever I think about Elijah, you kind of have to talk about that. That concept of fervency. So therefore, some of you may have an insert or another bulletin, but this is where I'm going to be working on, Lord said the same this morning. We may have to go into next Sunday with it, but I want to talk about embracing the fervent spirit of prayer. Embracing the fervent spirit of prayer. Now, that is coming from, I believe, a verse before the Elijah one, James 5 and 17. This scripture is coming from James 5 and 16. It says, Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, the word fervent, you see right there, the definition is powerful, passionate, enthusiastic, devoted, dedicated, and wholehearted. That's embracing the fervent spirit. You see that? All right. And the word effectual. It's the process of what? Achieving, accomplishing, and end result. And the word availeth means what? Gain, advance, achieve what? A reward. Now, as we see the little paragraph there, it says, The spirit that drives the saint or the seeker to move Jesus to bless the soul and answer prayer is the fervent expression of need for Jesus. Now, when we're saying fervent, again, powerful, passionate, enthusiastic, devoted, dedicated, wholehearted. That's what you're focusing on. Saint must be mindful of every action, response, attitude, and motive. Because what we do, how we do it, and why we are doing it displays our true or genuine need for Jesus. Our belief in Jesus being God is shown by our level of fervency to be under the lordship of Jesus and not our own selves or not ourself or Satan. Now, when you're thinking about fervency, I always like to think of fervency, the thing that kind of fuels the fire, the thing that kind of fuels that fire. Now, we have to understand, as you turn on the inside of your bulletin, it says prayer is powerful and it does work. Prayer is powerful and it does work. But the results are dependent upon the seeker's level of fervency. How bad do you really want this? That's what determines whether you get your prayers answered or whether you achieve your expected result. Now, you notice here in James 5 and 15, it says the prayer of faith, it does what? It saves the sick. And the Lord shall do what? Huh? The Lord shall raise him up, right? The Lord shall raise him up, and if he committed any sins, they shall be what? That's right. Now, remember, all of that is based upon the what? The prayer of faith. Now, when the scripture makes reference to Elijah, this is why I wanted to go over this lesson, because it says Elijah, he prayed earnestly. Everybody see that in James 5, 17 and 18? It says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Now, a lot of times people think that just by simply making a request to Jesus, that moves Jesus. But we need to pay attention to a lot of these adjectives that are placed before these action words. All right? Everybody understand what I said? A lot of these adjectives that are placed before these action words. Everybody prays. Everybody is praying around the earth. Some folk today going to be praying for the Eagles, you know. And just as bad as we want the Eagles to win, there are people that like Dallas. I'm not going to mention no names in here, but somebody likes Dallas. But just as hard as we're praying for one team, somebody's praying for another, you know, and they want their team to win. Now, does that kind of prayer move Jesus? No. Jesus is not moved by that. Jesus did not die on the cross for someone to throw a piece of pigskin across the field and run, you know, 50-yard lines and say touchdown. That's not why Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross to pay for sin. As we were going over Thursday, beautiful Bible class Thursday. Cannot say that enough. Very good Bible lesson. We went over Bible discussion to help us to better understand the root of all of this stuff. A lot of times we like to pay attention to specifics, but we don't want to go to the source of these things. Everybody want to say, oh, Jesus is not fair. Jesus is not fair. No, he's very fair. He told Adam and Eve in the very beginning, do not eat from that tree. He said, the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt do what? Sin is the transgression of the law. The rule was given, the instruction, the commandment, the rule was given, and it was up to the man to obey that rule. And when they disobeyed it, when they stepped over the line that separated right from wrong, that's what you call sin. That when they, as long as they were obeying Jesus, they were at peace. Everything was fine. Creation was fine. Animals were fine. There was no death. Whole world was just happy. But the minute Adam and Eve ate up that fruit, they crossed over that divine line that separated right from wrong, righteousness from unrighteousness. And when they did that, they brought sin, not only in themselves, but sin in the whole wide world. This whole world is groaning because of sin. You know, I oftentimes use the example of the ants that are on the ground. You know, these are Jesus's creation. And we just walk. Do you realize the torture that goes through that ant's mind when the human is walking on the earth? Why? Because they're trying to live. And here you are just walking with your heavy feet and squashing the ants, right? And if you pay a lot of attention to them, when we were children, we used to burn them. We used to take magnifying glasses and we would take the glass and let the sun hit it. And we would burn the leaves first. But because the leaves weren't running, we said, let's go find something. And we would find ants. We were little devilish little kids. We really were. We would find them ants and we would let the sun hit it and it would burn them ants. It would burn anything in its path. But can you imagine the mind of the ant? The ant is just trying to live. It's trying to live. Everything in creation is simply trying to live. But there, because sin has come in. When sin came in, it didn't just bring the tendency to do wrong in creation. It also brought death. Remember, Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 33, the wage of sin is what? Sin did not come by itself. It brought death. So when we're talking about what should we be praying for, we really should be asking Jesus to deliver us from sin. If we say, I am a part of creation that does not want to die, I want to live. You say, how do you know you want to live? Because you try your best to avoid death. You don't run out there and jump in front of trains and jump off of bridges and take medication that you know will kill you. You know, you may have done little drugs or whatever else like that, but you even did it with a restraint. You didn't take so much that you knew it was going to stop your heart. You only took enough for you to get your little escape. And then when your escape lasted for a little while, you went back to the drug again. But there is nothing to stop you from taking so much. You know, you ever see them folk on the trains and they be shooting up with needles? It's only but so much they're putting in there, because they still want to live. They want to have a high, but they still want to live. If they wanted to die, they would find the thickest needle that they could and put everything inside of it and shoot it up in their skin. You say, well, why don't they do that? Because they want to live. Same principle with drinking. You say people drink so much they pass out. But after they get up, they don't go right back and drink. They try to get that stuff out of their system. They say, oh, man, I got a headache. You know, I don't know because I ain't never drank, but I watch them. Say, I got a headache, man. You know, I feel bad. Well, they don't keep on after they say, they get up. They don't say, oh, give me some Tylenol. They don't say that. They don't say, give me some more liquor that caused my head to be hurting and thumping. But after that feeling goes down, they go right back to drinking again. Huh? That's true. But a part of them wants to live. How do you know they want to live? Because they try to get rid of the stuff, the yucky feeling first, before they go back into it again. It's something about the creature that wants to live. Well, it's the same principle with you. If I'm telling you, all of us are born in sin because of Adam's disobedience. All every man, woman, child, boy, girl is born in the state or the condition of sin. And Jesus gives us a plan to get out of sin. He says the man has got to do what? Repent. In other words, he's got to be godly sorrowful for the state that he was born in. He's got to be godly sorrowful for Adam bringing him into this state. He's got to say, I no longer want to be in this condition. I know I had nothing to do about it, but I no longer want to be in this condition. I no longer want to be attracted and drawn to doing things that Jesus is not pleased with. That's repentance, turning away from that attitude, turning away from that mind frame. Then you got to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. For what reason? Not to show other people what you're doing. You're going down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission. In other words, if you want sin removed from your soul, you have to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, or the sending away, or the removal of sin. And then after you get sin removed from you, you need something to keep you. You need something to sustain you. You need something to preserve you. That's why you tarry, or you wait for the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is power from on high. It is power over this Adamic nature. It is an authority over sin. It is an authority over death. It prepares you to spend eternity with the righteous God. That's why the scripture tells you to tarry or to wait until you are endued with power from on high. The Holy Ghost is not of the earth. Holy Ghost is from power from on high. Some people like to call it supernatural. It is. It goes beyond natural abilities. When you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can't stop doing this stuff. When you have the Holy Ghost is your agent. It is your helper. So when the flesh tries to draw you into that stuff, you can draw off of the Holy Ghost to help you. Just like we oftentimes say, how did you get this power? I got that power calling on Jesus. Someone tarried with me, crying out to Jesus until my soul was filled with Jesus. Well, the same way I got that power is the same way I got to keep that power. So that when the enemy attacks me, I can draw off of what saved me in the beginning, and that's his name. I don't cowardly run to the name. I don't run to the name apprehensively. I run with total confidence. That's what that word fervency means. Total confidence, wholeheartedly, enthusiastic. You know, when you really want something bad, You have to be enthusiastic about it. I oftentimes tell you, you got to envision yourself out there in the middle of the ocean. And as though you've fallen off of a boat or a plane. And there's no land in sight. There's nobody around. And then all of a sudden you see a boat off to the distance. You're not going to see that boat and say, "Help, help, oh, please help." You're going to say it with enthusiasm. You're going to say, "Help, help, help," right? You're going to be screaming with everything inside of you. You'll be kicking and screaming, "Help, help, help." And you won't stop till you get the attention of that boat. Even when that boat looks like it's going in the opposite direction, you with passion, you with every strength inside of you, you start to scream, "Help, help." And you cry, "Help, help." Huh? Why? Because you can see your opportunity to live is leaving you. And the last thing you want to do is die in that ocean. Is that true? That's fervency. You got to tap into fervency. When you say you want the Holy Ghost, you got to tap into fervency. Huh? Come on. You know, that's the truth. And that's why I want you to understand the heavens didn't stop raining just because Elijah prayed. Right? It said he did it earnestly. So you got to envision yourself. Well, what in the world? What kind of passion was drawn Elijah? As I said on last week, he lived in an environment that was anti-Jesus. Oh, yes. That environment was anti-Jesus. From the rulers of the land to the people, they were anti-righteousness. They were serving the Baal of the god of Jezebel, Baal, God that didn't save them out of Egypt, huh? And that we about right there today. People are not out here looking to serve Jesus. They want to serve Jesus when it's convenient. When they want to serve Jesus when it's convenient for them, when they want to do it. But when I'm trying to tell you, you got to show the Lord that you're serious about him. I mean, you got to be showing the Lord Jesus that I'm in this wholeheartedly. I'm enthusiastic about your salvation. Even when it feels like the day is so beautiful and calm, it cannot take away my enthusiasm for Jesus. That's the truth. Everybody want to cry out to Jesus when things seem chaotic, huh? When things are out of sort. When things are not going the way they wanted to go, then they want to develop a prayer life. Jesus is not looking for you to pray like that. Jesus wants to see how enthusiastic, how passionate are you and devoted to him, even when things are going the way you wanted to go. Huh? Come on, you got to earnestly stick with Jesus. You got to keep on crying out to Jesus until Jesus fulfills your heart's desire. Come on, let's go to the next scripture. There about what it talks about in Matthew, chapter number 17, 18 through 21. Yep. That's right. Isn't that something? And don't, a lot of us are under the attack of Satan. A lot of us are dealing with spirits and mind frames that are just seem to have a hold on our mind. We just seem like we're struggling trying to overcome this disobedient nature. Huh? Come on. That's truth. It seems like self has got such a grip on us. Come on. You don't understand the dangers of the time that we are living in? We be wondering why aren't people receiving the Holy Ghost? Because we're living in an earth that is so full of self. It's so full of yourself all day long. And in order for you to receive Jesus, a man has got to deny himself. Come on. You can't be a follower of Jesus if you haven't learned how to deny yourself. That's why you thank the Lord you got the Holy Ghost if you got it. Why? Because that means you learned how to deny yourself. Some people are struggling denying themselves. Everything is about how they feel, what they're going through, how they're thinking, huh? What they want. Now, how in the world are you going to receive Jesus when that's all in your mind? Huh? You got to realize self stands at that door. Every time Jesus is trying to get in, every time the word is trying to penetrate your heart, every time the word is trying to break up your fallow ground, self is standing right there saying, "No, this is my territory. You will not take over." Huh? How do you know self is there? have nothing to do with your mission. It has nothing to do with your goal. You have to ask yourself, why am I getting on my knees? Why am I calling on the name of Jesus? I want to receive the Holy Ghost. I need the Holy Ghost so I can go back with him when he comes. Why? Because if I don't have the Holy Ghost, any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have both keys, water, and spirit, you will not be able to see nor enter into the kingdom of God. You've got to see just how serious this run is. Just how serious this seeking Jesus is. That's the truth. You got to ask yourself, what is trying to prevent me from getting this blessing? It's yourself. Huh? Come on. Self is powerful. Whenever it's time to do the Lord's word, whenever it's time for you to be obedient to an instruction given by Jesus, you ought to take note. What is it that's stopping me? What is it trying to prevent me? What is trying to make me discouraged? What is trying to make me feel like I cannot do it? Huh? It's called self. Huh? It is called self. And if you want to get the victory, you got to deny self. You got to say no, 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 no. I've got to do what Jesus said for me to do. I've got to be obedient to his word and his will. Huh? You got to realize self is a devil. Huh? Self is a demon. Huh? You got that demon from Adam and Eve. What caused them to eat that fruit? Self. Huh? Jesus told them, the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. But when they looked at that tree, they said, it's good for food. A tree desired to make one wise. Huh? She took of that fruit and ate and gave also to her husband. And he did eat with her. And the eyes of them both were open. And they knew that they were naked. Self. Huh? They knew that they were naked. Huh? They lost the knowledge of Jesus and started focusing on themselves. They knew that they were naked and tried to sew up fig leaves to cover up their nakedness. Then they tried to hide from Jesus in the world that he made. That's how much self deceives you. Self is a liar. Self is a deceiver. Self makes you think you can get away with something when you cannot. Logically, you would say, how in the world am I going to hide from Jesus when he made all of this? But when self gets in your mind, self makes you act and look like a fool, right? That's true. Self makes you act and look like a fool. You sit up there and waste time. Huh? Seems like to me, if they really wanted to be with Jesus, soon as they ate that fruit and saw the change, seemed like to me they should have cried out. Huh? Right then and there, said, Jesus, something done happened in my mind. Jesus, I did something I wasn't supposed to do. But I'm trying to tell you, when self gets in you, it causes you to act foolish. Huh? How you know? Fig leaves ain't going to cover up your body. Huh? Fig leaves belong on a tree. They don't belong on your body. But when self takes over, it makes you act foolish. Huh? Come on, it wasn't done yet when the word came forth. Where said Adam? Where art thou? Huh? Self said, go hide behind a tree. Huh? Who made the tree? Jesus. Huh? But what does self say? Self say, you can get away with it. Huh? The church don't see you. Elder Scudder don't see you. But you're thinking like a fool. The eyes of the Lord are in everywhere. You cannot hide from Jesus. He sees everything.
Yes, thank you,
Jesus. Is that true?
Yes, Jesus.
He sees everything. He's trying to wake you up out of sleep. Help you to understand what you're working with. Huh? You think you get your little bit of money. Huh? You say, well, I'ma hide it from Jesus. I'ma only do part of what the Lord requires. Lord's word don't change. This word was here before I got here. He told you honor him with that tenth, right? That tenth part belongs to him. That tenth part is sanctified. That means you can't even wonder what you're gonna do with it. It don't belong to you. That's why he calls you a robber and a thief. When you try to keep that tenth part. Why? Because it don't belong to you. That means everything. that the Lord bring into your pot. You better make sure you separate that tent and say within yourself, this belongs to Jesus. Why does it belong to Jesus? Because it's holy. It's sanctified, right? And I'm the one that want to get out of sin. I'm the one that want to be holy, right? Starts with my mind. Huh? Starts with my mind. That's why I can stand flat-footed and say, when you're struggling to obey Jesus, you got a disobedient spirit inside of you. You got a demon that's got a hold of your mind. And the Lord said, this demon is not going to get out of you. Huh? Come on, I didn't forget my text. Matthew said what? Huh? Jesus rebuked that devil. Huh? Uh-huh. See, this is the kind of salvation that you need. You need Jesus to speak into your mind. When the Lord speaks into your mind, that devil will come out of you. You won't find it so hard to live right. You won't find it so hard to do right. You won't find it so hard to be in agreement with righteousness. Why? When you're finding it hard to do right, you've got something foul inside your mind. You've got something ungodly in your brain. And the only one that can rid you from that is Jesus, right? The only one that can get that foul spirit out of you is Jesus. We can lay hands on you all day long. It ain't going to remove that devil. Jesus got to do the delivering. That's why we tell you, call Jesus. Call Jesus by his name. I don't care how you can get the devil, will get you down there overcome with emotions, and you get to crying, saying, woe is me. But what is that? That's still self. Man's got to get out of himself, and he's got to call on the name. Huh? Come on. He's got to call on the name of Jesus, and he's got to do it with such passion, such enthusiasm. He's got to earnestly do it. Huh? That means when service is over, you want the Holy Ghost? You got to still be calling Jesus. Huh? When the saints, when Elder Scudder drops you off and you go into that home and ain't nobody in there calling Jesus, you need to find a corner to yourself. You need to find a room to yourself and say, no, no, no. I don't have time to waste. I need the Holy Ghost. And I need to earnestly seek Jesus. I need to let the Lord know I'm serious about this thing. Huh? Why? Because if I die, if I stop breathing, my soul is going to be lost. Huh? Come on, and I don't want to lift up my eyes in hell. I don't want to lift up my eyes in hell. To hell you are going. If you die in your sin, to hell you are going. You got to make up in your mind, I don't want to go to hell, right? That's the truth. I don't want to go there. Lord, I need you to remove that devil from out of my mind. Huh? Come on, read that scripture again. Yes, he did. Yes. You don't want that devil to be lingering in you. Huh? Sometimes we think we've been freed from the devil because he's not bothering us while we're praising Jesus or while we're hearing the word. But then when the word has stopped, when the songs have stopped, when you're no longer around the saints, you find that spirit creep right back up inside of you. Huh? That lets you know you have not been delivered. Huh? Come on, you need to be honest with yourself. I have not been delivered like I'm supposed to. This salvation ought to follow you everywhere you go. You ought to wake up in the middle of the night still saved and sanctified. Huh? You ought to lay your head down that night still with your mind on Jesus. You ought to rise up early in the morning with joy down in your soul. You ought to be able to go through criticism and slander and cussing with your mind on Jesus. Why? Because that's the kind of salvation you need to keep you in this day and this hour. You need that kind of salvation, right? Come on, keep me moving. Read me a little bit more.
And it says, then came the disciples. Yes. Jesus
yep.
Why could not we cast them out?
That's the problem right there. Isn't that the problem? Can you see the problem right there? It is not about you. Huh? You don't have no healing hands. Huh? You ain't got deliverance in your hands. So you need to wake up out of sleep. You be trying to go to run into this one and run it out. Say, lay hands on me. And when they touch it, they say, well, I feel the power. Don't you see what these folks doing? They get to shaking and moving every time such and such touch them. And I'm trying to wake you up out of sleep. That's not no Jesus. You don't need that kind of power working in your life. You need the kind of power to work in your life when it's just you and Jesus. One thing I knew when I received the Holy Ghost, it was just me and Jesus. When I got down there, it was a church full of folks.
Yes.
Church full of folks, and there was one tarrying with me.
Uh-huh.
And they were telling me, call Jesus, call Jesus, call Jesus. Hands would go down, and he'd lift up my hands. Call Jesus, call Jesus, call Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. But when I got my mind on Jesus, when I stepped out of myself, it was as though I forgot about everything. I saw the manifestation of the Word. When the Word said he allowed us to sit in heavenly places. Huh? It is though my mind got elevated and I was no longer on the earth. Huh? Come on. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you should be able to know what I'm talking about. Huh? It was like I was no longer on the earth. Huh? I heard music. Huh? I heard a sound of praise. And I wanted to join in. My soul just wanted to thank Jesus. Thank him for what? Thank him for allowing me to feel him. I was calling him before and I felt nothing. But now I'm calling him and I'm feeling him. Feeling him all down in my soul. Ain't nobody touching me. Ain't nobody whispering to me. It's just me and Jesus. Oh, come on, it's just me and Jesus. One writer said it's real. Oh, it's real. How do you know? I can feel him in my soul. I know he's real, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
I ain't got to ask nobody. I know Jesus is real. Huh? I know he's real. And the Lord just put a love. I was calling Jesus, and it was like a job. It was like tedious work. It was like boring work. I'm being honest. I was calling Jesus, and it was like boring, repetitious work. But then when I got out of myself, that name became joy. Huh? It was like that name was my breath. Huh? You know how you breathe it? It was like that name was my breath. I was like, oh, I need this name. I need this name in my soul. I need this name to conquer me. I need this name to have dominion, to rule over me, right? Man, and when that name got hold of me, that name took control. Huh? I kept trying to hold. That name said, no, it's time to praise me. Come on. It's time to praise me. I wasn't concerned about what was going on. I said, yes, Lord, I praise you. That's why that song ought to mean something to you. I got a reason. I have a reason. And when the song say, yes, I'll praise him. That's a question. Will you? Yes, Lord, I'll praise you. Don't nobody else got to do it. Don't nobody else got to feel it. But yes, I'll praise you. How will you? I'll praise you with my hand. I'll praise you, Jesus, right? Huh? Come on. You got to find it. You got to find that enthusiasm. Huh? You got to find it when you got to stop being enthusiastic about the stuff on this earth. And you got to realize there's nothing that this earth got to offer me. Ain't nothing down here but death. Huh? It's nothing down here but death. And my soul want to live, right?
Hallelujah.
Huh? And ain't nothing nobody else can do for me. Huh? I don't want to be this kind of disciple that think the power is in my hand. Huh? Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that wrestler that time that had the claw? And he would be like this. He would be trying to hide. And then he'd be just like this. And the man would be like this. No, not the claw. Not the claw. Excuse me, Dean. But that thing got a hold of his hand. Right? And it was like he said, oh, no, I'm under control of the claw. I'm trying to tell you, this ain't flesh and blood. Huh? This ain't flesh and blood. You need Jesus. Huh? You need Jesus to reach out his mighty hand. Huh? And touch you, right? Huh? That's right. I mean to touch you. To lay his hands on you. Huh? I mean you need Jesus to lay his hands on you. Huh? It would be a song of praise. Lay your hands on me, Jesus. You need the Lord to lay his hands on you, right?
Jesus, hallelujah.
Christ.
You down there praying?
Jesus.
That's what you should be praying for.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, I need you to touch
Jesus.
Me.
Yes.
Huh? I need to get out of myself and I need you to touch me, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Going through too much.
Yes.
Too many things are happening in my life.
Yes.
I need you to touch me.
Yes.
And when he touches me,
Hallelujah.
He makes me feel.
Hallelujah.
He makes me know.
Jesus.
Everything is going to be all right.
Yes.
Huh? Has the stuff changed? No.
Jesus.
Same problems.
Jesus.
Huh? Same world.
Jesus.
But the Lord has put a confidence
Jesus.
Inside of my soul.
Yes.
That everything will be all right. See, that's what we're talking about, tarry. Tarry means you stay there. You wait. Wait until, right? Wait until you are endued with power. Huh? Not from the earth. See, that's what the disciples thought. They thought that the power was in them because they were following behind Jesus. Jesus said, you ain't got no power. I'm the authority. Huh? Go ask Michael. Michael was an archangel. And he, when he was fighting about the body of Moses with that devil, Michael said, I dare not rebuke Satan. But he said, what? The Lord. In other words, Jesus is the authority. Huh? Don't let the angels have more common sense than you. Huh? Angels don't know what it's like to have God inside of them. When you have the Holy Ghost, you've got the Creator inside your soul, right? You got the Creator inside your soul. Angels are praising Him without nothing being inside of them. Huh? Oh, yeah. They ain't got nothing inside of them. That's why when they fall, that's it. There is no redemption. Huh? But the Lord died for the souls of men. Huh? Angels looked into it. Said, I don't understand this. How could you be so merciful and gracious to this creature that you made from the dirt? Oh, yes. Come on. Angel said, we've been praising you from the beginning. And yet you take the time to form this creature from the dust of the ground. And then you just don't leave them there. You just don't let them stay there. You breathe in them. You breathe in them. You put your breath in them. Huh? You put your word in them. Huh? You put your breath in them. Huh? And sin tried to snatch the word out of you. Sin don't want the word to be in you. Sin snatches the word out of you. But you thank the Lord for the Lord's preacher. Huh? You thank the Lord for the Lord's preacher. Because the Lord's preacher will deliver to you. Huh? Come on! I bring to you Jesus Christ and Him crucified, right?
Jesus, hallelujah.
That's your blessing.
Jesus, hallelujah.
That's your blessing.
Yes, it is.
That's your riches.
Hallelujah.
Huh?
Hallelujah.
Just get Jesus. That's your riches.
Yes,
stop looking for money in your pocket. Huh? Stop looking for the Lord to touch your body. Let the Lord touch your soul. Say, Lord Jesus, if you touch my soul, everything else will fall into place, right? That's my belief. That's my faith. No matter what I'm going through, as long as the Lord touches my soul, everything else will fall into place. See, the devil be trying to make you satisfied with stuff down here. But you need to wake up out of sleep. This stuff means nothing. Why? Because you come into the world naked. And you're going to leave what? But where will your soul be? Where will your soul be? Huh? I want my soul to live. Y'all understand that? I want my soul to live. And Jesus is my life. Huh? Not the disciples. Not you. Aren't you a disciple? You are not my life. Jesus is my life.
Yes.
I do for you because I got Jesus in me.
All right.
Huh? Huh? I do for you because you're trying to keep him in you. If you ain't got him, you're looking for him. You say, Lord, I want to be saved. Therefore, we got something in common. But the minute you start talking fleshly, huh? You're going to see me go just like this. Aristotle, why don't you come? Because you don't want to be saved. Huh? Aristotle, why don't you hang around me no more? Because you don't want to be saved. When you wake up out of sleep, huh? I don't want to die with you.
Yes,
I'm trying to live.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
I ain't trying to die.
No,
I'm trying to live.
Jesus.
I'm leaving death
Jesus.
Alone.
Jesus.
Huh? Come on.
Yes.
I'm leaving death alone.
Jesus.
I want nothing to do with it.
No.
Huh? Some people are going to say, run and say, ain't you going to go run and see Mother Bessie's when she take her last breath? No. I'm leaving death alone. I ain't interested in seeing a body that ain't moving no more. Huh? Come on, saints. Y'all understand this? Come on, you better get good understanding. I'm not running over to see no dead body. That means nothing to me. I'm concerned about the soul. Huh? Say, oh, Scudder, but you don't understand what she's going through. Nah, you the one don't understand. Huh? You don't know? While she was moving and while she was living, the sacrifices that we made to make sure that her soul was where it needed to be at, huh? We the one told the saints, fast. We the one told you to lift up your hands and call Jesus. Huh? Lord, give it to us, we give it to you. We say, lift up your hands and call him by his name. Open up your mouth and call Jesus. What do you think we're doing? Huh? What do you think we're doing? What do you think all of this is about?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
All of you are going down that path. Huh? And I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. You get there and then you have to go run. Tell my pastor to come get me. Well, when I get there, what are we going to do? Huh? What are we going to do when I get there? Huh? I just need you to lay hands on me. Ain't nothing. My hands don't mean nothing. Huh? This is nothing more than flesh. My hands don't mean nothing. But Elder Scudder, you the pastor. If you, but you just lay hands. My hands mean nothing.
Y'all think, no.
Look at the text. The disciples asked the question, what was wrong with us? Huh? Is that what they said? His disciples came and ran to him privately. Why couldn't we do this, Lord? What was wrong with our hands? What was wrong with our speech? Self. Huh? See, you want the recognition. How you know? That's why I take the Holy Ghost. See, when the disciples behaved again after the Holy Ghost. Remember at the house, at the gate called Beautiful? When that lame man raised up, started shouting and leaping. And then the folks started trying to look at Peter and John. And they wanted to praise him. Peter John said, don't look at us. As though we did some great thing. This is the power that you rejected. This is the power that you rejected. That name got hold of that brother. That name got hold of that brother and gave his ankle bones strength. That's true. And you rejected that name. But there's no salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we what? See, the power was in the name. That's why we tell you when you get down in prayer, do what? Call Jesus. Open up your mouth and call Jesus. You want him, call him. Huh? That's you. You got to want Jesus with everything inside of you. Say, Elder Scott, I just want to be better. Call Jesus. Want the Lord to deliver me. Call Jesus. He's the only one that can see that demon and tell that demon to get out. Huh? Come on, saints. What did Jesus say? Jesus saw that devil. And he told that devil what? That's the kind of work you want the Lord to do in you. Huh? You want the Lord to cure you. Cure me from this demonic possession. Huh? Where this devil has set up camp in my mind. Cure me, Jesus. And that what that song your brothers were singing tonight? Fix me, Jesus. Save me, Jesus. Heal me, Jesus. Huh? That devil done got into my mind. You the only one. Huh? You're the only one that can make that devil get out of me. Huh? Disciples said, whoa, why couldn't we do it? Keep going. Keep me moving.
You said unto them, because of your unbelief.
Yep.
Well, verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain
of a mustard seed,
you shall say unto this mountain,
be
removed into yonder
yep.
and it shall be removed.
Yep.
And nothing shall be impossible unto you.
How be it? See how you can't run past that? You need to fast. What does fast mean? Deny yourself. Huh? Come on. Everybody got that? Fasting is not stop eating and stop drinking. You've got to deny yourself. Huh? Put the phone down. Turn the TV off. Get in a room somewhere and sit still. Well, I took me a nap. You ain't fasting.
That's right.
You ain't fasting. Well, I just stayed in bed all day. That's not fasting. That's not fasting. You need to have your mind on Jesus. You need to have your mind on Jesus. You need to stay away from people. You need to get away from everybody. Those that have jobs, I fast. Those that have jobs, you need to pull yourself away from the people. Huh? Oh, yeah. Pull yourself away from the people and put your mind on Jesus. Huh? Can you do your job? Yeah. You do your job, but all in the midst. Every time I hit that space bar, I'm saying, Jesus, Jesus, work on my mind. When ain't nobody around, I'm putting my little Jesus music in my head. Huh? And I'm very selective in the songs of praise that I listen to. I need to listen to some songs that's going to make my mind think. Huh? I ain't listening to no songs that be like, you know, boom, boom, doom, 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 doom. No, no. Jesus, I need you to break this thing down. I need the Lord to be like a jackhammer and get on the stony part of Stephen and break him down, right? Amen. That way when the Lord get through with me, I'm looking up at him in humility. Come on, saints. I'm looking up at him in humility and say, Jesus, I hate my flesh. Oh, Jesus, I know that is within me is a no good thing. Deliver me from me, right? Amen. Huh? That's right. I think that brother said that. He tapped into that thing Friday. I mean, y'all may not remember a couple of years ago, we started singing that song, One More Chance. Lord just gave me one more chance. Huh? Come on. Every day the Lord wake you up, he giving you one more chance. Huh? Come on. Song of praise says, I'm so glad that he gave me. Huh? Just pay attention to the words. I'm glad he gave me one more chance. He gave me one more chance. Huh? He could have cut me off. Come on, saints. I know that sister may not understand it. She may not relate with it. But I know it for a fact. Jesus could have cut me off. He'd have cut my life. He had every right to take the breath out of my body. But he gave me one more, right? Huh? Come on, amen. Lord gave me one more chance. See how be it this kind coming forth? No other way but fast. Come on. Next scripture. Next scripture.
Turn again. 2 Kings 25.
Yes. Yes. Come on. This is right. Why we tell you to tarry? Tarry till you know Jesus heard you. Huh? Come on. You're going to say, Elder Scott, when will I know Jesus heard me? He will answer you. He not only will answer you, but you will feel him. Huh? Come on. That's why I told you I had to go over this lesson with Elijah. Because Elijah dealt with a group of people that believed Baal had some power. Huh? And they prayed to Baal. And Elijah had to sit back and wait till after all of their prayers were done. Huh? Come on. And Elijah, they were praying and praying and dancing and taking off their clothes and shaking. And Elijah said, I don't know what's wrong with your God. He might be asleep. He must be deaf. Then they got so angry with Elijah, they started cutting themselves. Come on, tattoo people. Huh? Come on, tattoo people. Huh? They started cutting themselves, trying to get their God's attention. Huh? And Elijah said, let me know when you're done. And when they got finished, the same dead God remained dead. Huh? He was dead before they started praying. He was dead while they were praying. He was dead when they were finished praying. You don't want that kind of God in your life. Huh? But then when it was Elijah's turn, Elijah set up camp. He set it up the way that it needed to be set up. He said, dig a trench. Huh? He said, put rocks around it. He said, throw water on the sacrifice and fill water up in the trench. And they did it. And he said, put some more water on it. And Elijah, he lifted up his eyes towards heaven. And began to call on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and said, God, you are God. Did Elijah know his name? No, he did not. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. When you come down to this place of sacrifice, understand what you are doing. Get your house in order. Get the environment set. Let the Lord know. I mean this. While the saints are singing praise and we're getting ready to get down in prayer, you ought to have your mind. Lord, help me to dig my trench. Make space for me. That's right. Lord, because whatever you're going to do, I want you to do it. You get down on your knees. Get yourself ready. And lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands and put your hand up. Call on Jesus. Call him. Call him. Call him. Call him. You say, well, I call Jesus a little bit. Keep on calling. Call him until he answers. Till he answers how? By fire. You need the fire to rest on you.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
You need the fire to rest on you. Jeremiah said it's like a fire. On the day of Pentecost, it was like a fire. But scripture said fire sat on each of them. Peered unto them like cloven tongues. That's true. Stay there. Stay there until you get that fire. One thing is true. When the fire fell on that sacrifice, it sopped up all the water. It burnt the sacrifice. It burnt up the rocks. Now, you know that's a mighty fire. That's why I'm trying to tell you, you need the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost to get rid of all of that stuff inside of you. But you got to be willing to let it go. You got to have that kind of attitude. No more me. No more self. No more I. Jesus, I want you to be God in my life. I need you to be in control. Amen. I need you to be in control, Jesus. Lord told that fella, I heard your prayer. Come on, keep me moving. He said, I heard your prayer. I heard your prayer. I seen your what? So who are you crying before? You ain't crying to me. Don't think that you say, you be Jesus, and you be peeking and looking.
Jesus.
Man, you wasting your time. You wasting your time. Jesus needs to see it. Sometimes you be crying and don't know tears fall down. I see it. That inner man is crying out to the Lord. And then sometimes tears do fall. But at the end of the day, you're not crying to show others how bad you want this. This is your prayer towards who? Jesus. Do you think Hezekiah was concerned about anybody else? At the end of the day, he was the one that was facing death. He the one had to turn his face to the wall and cry out to Jesus to have mercy on him. And what did the Lord do? Keep going. Yes.
Thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord.
Yes.
And then go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, thy father.
Yep.
I have heard thy prayer.
Yep.
I've seen thy seed.
Yes.
Lord, I will add unto thee.
How long? That's right. That's something to think about, isn't it? See, but you have to sincerely want this thing, saints. You have to show some form of enthusiasm.
Yes.
You know, if you received a text message, while we in here praising the Lord, and you got a text message from the bank saying there was a $50,000 deposit in your account. We made an error, and this money belonged to you. But you've got to get over here in the next 30 minutes. I don't care what we're doing. We could be just getting ready to get down in prayer. See, you want that money. You can be like, oh, I got to go.
Yeah, that's right.
And you'll walk. They said, well, I'm going to give me an Uber. Uber said, we're going to take us 30 minutes. You said, well, no. Where is it at? It's a 15-minute walk. You will walk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Huh? You'll walk there. But then you say, well, what message does Jesus get from that? You were more enthusiastic about that money than you were talking to me. Right? Enthusiasm. See, Jesus is just not looking at some of it. He's looking at everything that you say, everything that you do, all the decisions and the choices that who make? You. That's what determines how you achieve the goal. So you can't get mad and say, well, Scott, oh, didn't you see me down there crying out to the Lord last night? I really wanted to be saved. Why didn't you receive the Holy Ghost? Elder Scudder, you ought not to ask me that. You ought to be asking yourself that. Why didn't I receive the Holy Ghost? If I was really, really crying out to the Lord, like I'm telling somebody else,
Jesus.
Huh? Something must be wrong. What does Jesus really see from me? Then if you go back and do some examination, Lord, see what you was doing all during the day. What were you engaged in? What were you excited about? Sometimes we get that phone and we answer. We get so excited. Our whole facial disposition changes. Get on there, hello. How you doing? So glad. Yeah. Then we say, it's time to come to church. What's on? I'm just trying to keep my mind on Jesus. You a liar. You're a liar. Come on now. Lord said, I see you. Huh? Make great sacrifices to do things that you want. Right? But the Lord said, I'm looking for your fervency. How passionate. How enthusiastic. How devoted. How wholehearted are you in this with me? Right? Come on, saints. Come on. That's true. That's true. We'll get a little bit more into this next week. I'm done. I'm not going to hold you up. It's 1 o'clock. I try to hold you. I try to keep true to